It's a funny thing. When I got engaged, I understood exactly how dating works and how people get engaged. And over the last 25 years since then, I understand less and less. It's funny, I was so much smarter then. As every year, I'll try to share with you some of the nekudas that Rapan used to share with us, maybe slightly different words, but it all comes back to the same ideas. You say that I'd like to tell you, and I know you won't all believe me, because when I got engaged, I wouldn't have believed it either. And when you date, no matter how much you date, you find out very little about the person you're dating. And when you get engaged, you think it's not so. Between the time someone gets engaged and someone gets married, he realizes that he knows so much more about how when he gets married than when he got engaged. And then by the end of Shana Rishayna, it's a whole new, different person. Now, this idea that when you date, you find out only very little about the person that you're dating. Therefore, what? Therefore, you should dating longer. Dating longer doesn't help you. Haraya, the goyim who know each other so well, do they have a better marriage relationship? Do they have a better record in marriages? The answer really is that when you date, you're dating really to find out certain ikrei nekudas that are possible to find out when you date. And everything else is baloney. Everything else, the Baruch Hashem wants the shidduch to be, so he makes you like this or like that, or makes it work out. The truth is that a person who dates and thinks he's going to figure out everything will never, ever be matzliach. A certain ikrei inyanim, and that's that. And that's what it says in the sixth parasha. What it says in this week's parasha is that Eliezer looked for just a few ikrim, and after that he proposed, and that was it. He was ready to propose. He didn't wait to see how Lo Mishman Esther she died in, or how fancy a house or not fancy a house it is. Bang bang, he found out what he felt were the ikrim, and then he got engaged. Now you'll tell me, but you'll feel much more comfortable if you know more about her. Maybe I'll agree with you, but I'm telling you 100% borer that you won't. No matter how much you date, every single person who dates spends the dating period finding out how similar he is to her, and Shana Rishayna finding out how different he is from her. It happens by everybody, there's no exceptions to that. Just like if you go to a doctor and you take the culture and you have a step, but you know what it is. And there's some things that are by everybody. Maybe by you it's different. There's certain things that are the same by everybody. It's the same thing with the data. Everybody spends the engagement period, or the dating period, when things go well, it's because you find out similarities. And Shana Rishayna, you find out all the differences that there are between them. The most extreme experience I ever had in this, and I'm not making this up, someone called me during the Sheva Brachos week, and he asked me in a very Lashon of Ema, I mean, he said, what happens if you get married? And after you get married, you realize she's a very nice girl, but she's just not for you. What do you do? Right. I got a phone call to get during Sheva Brachos week. So I started laughing, which I think was the best thing to do. I started laughing. I told them, wow, you're quick. Usually it takes people one of the first weeks to find out that they're not through the past. You know, you spend the whole engagement finding out you're through the past. And then the fact is that people are different. there are a million things in a person's life that could be one way or a different way, and the only thing that you can do before you get married is look for certain ikrim and make sure the ikrim are there. And beyond that, even the ikrim that you're looking for, who knows? But beyond that, the whole Shana Rishayna lasts usually until the 25th anniversary. You adjust to the differences between you. And by the 25th anniversary, you just be Yayish and you just stay different, and the next 25 years you're with the Shalom and everything's fine. At the beginning, you spend time trying to convince your wife that your way is better, and she tries to convince you that her way is better. And then you get a little smart and you realize that, as I tell my wife, intelligent human beings could have two opinions. If your wife ever disagrees with you, you're not in the mood to give in for some reason or other. Just say, intelligent human beings could have two opinions. Like this, you're calling her an intelligent human being. And you're saying, I just disagree, you know. But Tachem Advarim, it's a very important insight to know, not just for dating, because for dating you're not going to believe me anyway, and everyone tries to be a couple many days and figure out everything. But for marriage, more importantly, to know that that's just the way it is. The guys in the room who are married know it's that way, and you know, the guys who are engaged are maybe starting to find out, yeah. And then, you know, just that. But the guys who are dating are sure it's not that way. They're sure they're going to date and they'll figure out, and they sit with their parents, some of them, and they figure this out and that out. The ikrim that Rambam used to talk about were that the frumkeit level be compatible, and that the communication be good. The way he would say is that she's a makabela, she listens. It doesn't mean she obeys. People think listening means obey. It doesn't mean she obeys. Very often she's right, you're wrong. Listens means that you can talk to her, you can disagree with her, and she can listen. And that she has what you consider common sense. That you'll trust her judgment. Those were always the three ikrim that he spoke about, in one phrase or another. The frumkeit has to match, and the communication has to be there. And you have to be able to trust the common sense. I mean, the nicest is going to make decisions. You're going to talk about where to send your children to the yeshivas. You're going to talk about these things. You have to be able to trust her common sense. You have to feel that every person who has common sense will gather someone else. Even if you meet someone, you think they're way off. But there's a growth for him also, you know. Just as way off, and that common sense is the same. They're the same client. But those three nakudas, that's to look for. Everybody's entitled. When you date, you're entitled to do whatever you want. You want to go this way or that way. Someone didn't tell you you have to marry this person or that person. But if you put too many additional thoughts, nakudas, in your mind, first of all, it takes a while to find, but more importantly, you're going to be disappointed. Once there was a shul that I was very close with, somewhere out of the city nearby, and some people I knew well were in the shul, and they were looking for a new rav. And they were talking to me about it as they were looking, and they had came down to two people, and there were different factions in the shul. I told my wife, watch what's going to happen. I told her, and kacha, what happened? They, when they started, had certain ikrim they wanted in a rav. Well, what are ikrim? Whatever is important to the shul. They wanted to see a place, they wanted to see a person who speaks well and warm. You know, that's certain ikrim. It came down to two people. And these two rabbanim, why was there disagreement? One group in the shul said a certain chasarim, which is not one of the ikrim. The other group said a different chasarim. I told my wife, you're going to see, they're going to find someone who doesn't have these two small chasarimis. He's not going to be not a paisik, not a good speaker, not a warm person. But the two things that they're fighting over, they'll find, and they're going to take him for a rub. That's what I knew that was going to happen. But kachava, a wonderful person, I don't mean anything bad. But it's exactly what happened. How do I know? Because that's what happens to a lot of people who date. They date, they start off, they know they're certainly good. And then they date a few girls, and they say, well, this I don't like in this one, this I don't like in that one. So that becomes by them the ikur, the things they don't like. And then they end up getting engaged to someone who has these small nakudas, and they forget about the The person you get engaged to, you don't get engaged to someone for the purpose of marrying them. You get engaged to someone for the purpose of them being a wife and a mother in your home. And you start off, the ikrimah, that someone will be a good wife and a good mother. And then when a person dates, certain other constraints come up. And the ikrimah law. I want to tell you something about some older guys who find it very hard to get engaged. You know, statistically, that people get engaged a certain percentage in the first year, in the second year, even in the third year they date. Once a person goes, by a lifetime dating, 8, 9, 10 years of dating, it becomes statistically very hard for them to get engaged. Now, I'll tell you why. I'm not telling this, not my Hashara, this is because I know them. I talk to them. I'll tell you why. People think it's because they become foolish. It's not true. It's because they become experts. I don't mean it facetiously. I mean they really are experts. If they meet a girl, they know they can have 20 things and they can figure out all 20. And the Maisa, you're never going to find a girl that all 20 other way you want. So the Maisa, they come to talk to me if they're dating someone and this is what bothers them. And the mother says they should get engaged, or the friend says they should get engaged. This bothers them. I can't disagree. They're right. Just lie. If they'd be younger, they'd be so dumb they wouldn't notice it. And then they'd get married. And Shana Rishana, they notice it and they live with it, you know. And they live with it. And that's what happens to most people. You get married, you don't realize certain things. And afterwards, you realize the things and then you live with it. If the ikrim are there, the other things don't matter. And that, Pasha Chayasar, that's what it says. It says that the main things are the ikrim. When I was dating, I dated in the summer. I had a big bracha. I never went on a date during this month. Started dating at the end of his man, and I got engaged the first week of the next man, which was a big bracha. I was in camp, and I was dating on days off. And once I came into the city for a date, so I came into a farm. At that point, I'd gone out 4 or 5 times, you know, still early in the game. And I talked to him. So he told me, all right, so I'll go out one or two more times and then propose. So I was shocked, and I felt like it was hit over my head, you know. And my parents said, you have to sit down and talk about it and think about it in a way. So I spoke to him for five, I don't know, he spoke to him for 5 minutes. And he said, oh, see that 1 or 2 times to propose. Like, what? You know. But the tangled web of different pratim and prati-pratim, when it becomes important to you, you have really very little choice. It's important to you. It could be important to you. But it's so foolish. Because when you get married, a lot of the adjustments of Shana Rishayna is that you find out the differences. You find out things that you're not the same about. And then you have to adjust to it. That's the secret about dating. And I think Ruba Deruba married people accurate. They recognize it. And it's very hard because you only get married after you date. So when you're dating, it's a little hard to appreciate. But the idea of dating being to figure out everything is underworld. Dating basically has two stages. When you meet a girl the first few days, it's sort of an interview. No warmth, it doesn't start with warmth. You interview someone for a job, you find out about them. Right, you know, hopefully you do it like a mensch, and then if you get past that stage, the basics are there, then the question is if you develop a relationship afterwards, whatever level of relationship. The most common question that I'm asked is the question. A guy tells me something like, on paper, she's exactly what I wanted. Everything is exactly the way I wanted. But I'm just not excited. I'm not, you know, you start thinking, when I'm not with her, do I look forward to being with her? Don't I look forward to being with her? Mothers are very much into this. They ask you, you know, you're not with her, you look forward to being with her. When your mother asks that to you next time, if your father, if when he's not with your mother, if he looks forward to being with her, if that's that's like he dreams about her a lot. The ikkar in dating is to have a sustainable relationship with somebody. It's true. Maybe you know a friend who is very excited. Usually it's someone a little younger or maybe a little more outgoing. They're all excited when they get engaged. But that's the exception. The rule usually is that when people get engaged, they're getting engaged to a person who they can see constantly spending their life with. And the truth is, if a person would think about it, if you think about it enough, you realize that it's ridiculous. How could you know? But you have a comfort level. It always strikes me when I'm the age under the chuppah, age of kedushin, what it means when a guy lets go of the ring. A close man who still has his fingers on the ring, you know, he's a bachelor. The second he lets go, I always think, if he would realize what's happening, the second he lets go, he never let go. Like, if you realize there are ramifications of what you're doing. But suddenly you say every year that people take the plunge. And what should I do? I can't explain it, but the fact is that the more complicated you make it, doesn't mean the more happy you'll be. Person who looks for 10 years is not necessarily happier than the person who gets married in the first year. And you can't become too much of an expert. But you do have to know, and without it, it's impossible to get married. You do have to know is that no matter how much you think you figured out, when you get married, you're going to find out other things. Once there was a chassan in yeshiva. During his engagement, Kala told him about a certain physical thing, problem she had. It wasn't so major that she felt she had to tell right away. Maybe she should have told. And he was upset about it. He spoke to me. He said that when I was dating, this was the one thing my parents insisted on. Health-wise, you have to ask and everything has to check out. Everything has to be perfect. And folks, when I met this girl, my grandmother got sick and my mother had to go to the hospital and I ended up going out. She didn't check into it. He was all upset about it. So I told him, you know, that's your ego. That the Rebbe Shlomo to make it happen, that he had to make his grandmother sick so that the Rebbe Shlomo could push through the shidduch. You know, he had to distract your mother. But that's what happens. You get distracted from things. And when you get married, you have to adjust to that. The ikkar is not about it. If you're engaging, if you're going out, you have to know what you're looking for. But the ikkar is not to fool yourself into thinking that when you get married, you know everything, it's going to be smooth and it's going to be easy. If you're grown up and you can deal with people that are different than you, then you can get married. But wives, women today are intelligent. They have their own day and things. They let their day be known. And when you go out with somebody, you want to know what personality. I always tell you, once you go out with somebody, you want it to be talkative. You don't want to go out with someone who talks a lot. But no one wants to marry someone who talks a lot. It's a very strange thing. When you go out, they want someone who's very outgoing. When they get married, they find that their wife is too strongly opinionated and too talkative, and you know, you can't get out the chakras in the morning, she's going to be telling you all the things that women talk about. I think when you go out, you do well to stick with the ikrim and not to get distracted by other things. It's funny, the only thing the Torah tells us about Rivka, by Yitzchak, the only thing Yitzchak saw about Rivka was that tikach et hatzoyet v'tiska, that she behaved in a manner in the oifen hatzenuah. So the only thing that the Torah tells us, Yitzchak came and she covered herself. That's what I said. The only thing the Torah tells us, the tznius of the woman. Chazal say that the tznius of a woman affects the home, affects the children. What learning is to a zachar, tznius is to an occasion. The learning, just like somebody who's a matzliach and he learns, and he puts in the time, he's a ben Torah and it affects his total from kai. Tznius is the same thing by a woman. Today, unfortunately, there's a tremendous, in our circles, there's a tremendous span, even among friends. The people they marry is a level of sneers. The level of sneers, I mean two things. First of all, the common problem with women, young women, who for some reason or other have this mishagas not to cover their hair properly. Not to cover up your shulchan aruch. Look, when people ask me a shayla and I tell them it's treif, and they're disappointed, I always have the same line. I tell them, listen, I don't write the rules, I just report them. Ask me a shayla and I report what it says, I don't write it. It's halacha that a woman has to cover her hair. So flatbush, the women, by the time they're married for 2 or 3 months, the tichul goes back a little further, a little further. Today there's a terrible thing with the women who have sheikluch, where their hair shows in front of the sheikl, have names for it. Yilut to davar amotah. The lack of sneers, the whole attitude of the lack of sneers. I think a woman who doesn't cover her hair, who doesn't cover her hair properly, basically should marry a person who doesn't learn. That's the shidduch, you know, for now. A man who doesn't learn and a woman who doesn't, so they're both missing in the ikrim, maybe it's a shidduch. A lot of the Torah don't realize, they don't know, even though they're gay, they ask. They don't know. The halacha is, a woman has to cover her hair. The Rashba says that if some hair sticks out from the sheifel, you know, a woman can be perfect, sometimes on the side, the way the hair grows, some hair sticks out, but the Rashba says, mishketel. But the Golach HaTchila is set up that way, it's not up Yishol Benara. It's not mishketel according to anybody. And even together, it's a big problem. The halacha is that you're not allowed to make a bracha facing an erva. An erva is a woman, a married woman's hair that's uncovered. The tefach is uncovered. It's also to make a bracha. If you're in a chasana, or at a kiddush, or at a family gathering, or sometimes I have guests in my house. Sometimes we have people who come to my home. And when I make kiddush, I stand sideways. Because the halacha is, you're not allowed to make a bracha facing someone whose hair is not covered. That's not going on. And the chatzchila, you have to, the Rosh and the Rashba. The chatzchila, you have to be mitzadeh, you have to turn sideways. Yeah, maybe you can close your eyes. Or you look down, it's good. But the mikshul is a problem. There are different, we're not a perfect community. You should know when you're looking for a woman, for a wife, what are you looking for? Which things matter? All the little mishagasa matter. And the question, if a woman covers their hair up, something else doesn't matter. The mother says that someone who covers more than they have to, it affects the children. Someone who doesn't cover what they have to. It's a big mishal. And there are certain things which many people do, but it's not alpidin. And the women know it's not alpidin. Because when I'm walking the street, and then they see me, the first thing they do is their hands run to their tefillah, you know, to pull their tefillah down. Don't pull it all the way, they pull a little bit, they pull it down right away. If they would think it's worth it, why, they, as soon as they see it up, they go, their hands go to their tefillah. Not the way it should be. It's the Yetzirah, it's hard for men to understand the Yetzirah. You know, to me, to you, as a matter, little hair does stick out, it doesn't stick out. I'll say that that's an ikur in looking for a wife, that she should be a malasseset, like the Eliezer looks for, like it says the Yitzchak, that she should be a senor. So these are things that are very big ikur. I told many people here, and I tell you again, that even though in the Gemara it says that you should marry a woman who's less from than you, the Chayz Darga, marry a little less from than you. But the Metzius, the way it is today in America, you have to marry somebody who claims to be more from than you. And the reason is very precious, that the girls, when they're from Kai, basically is untested from Kai. It's very easy to say, I want somebody to learn all day, I want somebody to learn many years. The words are very easy. A lot of guys, if you take all the boys who, when they're bar mitzvah, want to reach a point where they can learn all day, you'll have Ruva de Ruva. What happens? Then you have to do it.
It's hard to do it. A lot of people can't sit in line for 3-4 hours straight. It's very hard. I mean, maybe when you become shvachim, the girls are still at the point where they just, it's all talk, it's all fluff. And whatever level of frumkeit you think there is, the person you marry, you have to be very careful to guard it, stay that way. It's easily lost by the women, it's very easily lost. Very, very easily lost. And they're not going to be a little firm at the start. It's going to affect what you're going to end up with. You have to start with a little more. You have to take off a certain percentage just for the experience of things that take that happen all the time. So these are the Ikrim and grading that I was told about. There's another Nakuda, which again, I think the married guys can appreciate better than the guys who are dating, but I'll tell you anyway. You have to be very careful in taking advice from bachurim or people who have anecdotal experiences, who have one experience, and they're going to give advice. Not because I'm looking for the business, I don't charge by the hour, not only ever want to come to me for advice. I'm just going to tell you how Dvarim Tabay Shehem, when someone gives you advice in any area, and he had one experience, or two experiences, or three experiences, you're only going to hear bad advice. Why? When I got engaged, and this is the marshal that I always explain, I think you'll appreciate, when I got engaged, I had one friend who was married, who, whenever we spoke, he said to me, don't live near your in-laws. Make sure you live far away from the in-laws. He kept on telling me that, and with a real attitude, he meant this, he kept on telling me, and that's I had a mind, I have to live far from my in-laws, you know, he's married, he knows what he's talking about. I ended up living not so far from my in-laws, and not so far from my parents. My first lived, now I'm a further, but when I first lived, I got married, I was in 63 or 57, 67, so far. I realized later, let's say I had 20 friends that were married. 19 of them got along with their in-laws. And they didn't tell me I should live far away from my in-laws, because they just had a normal life. Nobody tells you something abnormal. This one person didn't get along with his in-laws. Maybe his mother-in-law came around every day or something. So he had a weird experience, an unusual experience. So he's the one giving me the advice, don't live near your in-laws. I, 19 out of 20 people, are supreme. But they're not telling you. Whoever has a normal experience doesn't tell you. So whoever has an abnormal experience, they're the one giving you advice. You have to watch out for people who have one experience, two experiences, and suddenly they're giving you the advice, usually not so much. And something you have to watch out for. The most important insight in the parasha is the subsided insight, which, if you listen carefully to any shurim I ever give on Shalom Bayis, it's the same exact shir, it's just in different packages. So some people hear it this way, some people hear it that way, but it's exactly the same part. It all comes down to this Sefer. So Sefer says that when Eliezer is saying, okay, that's it, I want to take Rivka, and he goes over to Lavan, and he tells Lavan, that's it, you know, you're giving it to me, you're not giving it to me, otherwise I'll go home without her. So Lavan says the following, Vayan Lavan ubisuel, Vayayimu, May Hashem yaka hadavar, Lo yinuchal dabere lecha raitoi. He says, May Hashem yaka hadavar, what does that mean? The Basher. Lo yinuchal dabere lecha raitoi. We can't tell you, not that it's good and not that it's bad. And so if it is, it doesn't make sense. If May Hashem yaka hadavar, if the Eibishter said this is the right shiddur, so what does it mean? We can't tell you it's good, we can't tell you it's not good. If Hashem Yotza HaTavah said, tell me it's good. So what does Chassam say to answer? He says, and this is Lashon Yikul inside, he says that in a shidduch, people think it's good if they marry someone who's like them. When they date and they ask information, they're looking for someone that's like them. Chassam says, really it's not good. Really, it's good for a couple to be different. you're exactly the same. So what do you have? You know, before you had 6 feet of a person. So now you have 11 feet. I don't know how tall she is, but you know, before you had 6 feet of people, now you have 11 feet of people. If it's exactly the same person, so what does marriage do for you? Such as says, the tayelos of marriage is they should be different. And if you're different, so you're one way, she's another way. And then when you discuss things, you come out to some middle ground. So you have someone to take your mishigasim and make that a little more normal. As they say, some size, they give an example. His example is on spending money. He says that if the Baruch Shalom puts a shidduch and both of them like to spend money, they'll become poor people. If both of them are tight-fisted, they don't like to spend money, they'll have plenty of money in the bank, but they'll have an unhappy house. He says if Baruch Shalom always makes a shidduch, he takes one person who likes to spend money and one person who doesn't. He doesn't say which is the zachar, which is the keva. And he makes a shidduch, and the neila goes out of normal, something normal. As I said, it's a safe. Why is it some safe? It's the side I'm telling you today also, that the first year of marriage, you find out all your differences. He says, that whatever we tell you, it's not going to be good. If we're going to tell you something that we think is right, so it's really tight. You know, we're going to tell you this difference. So really it's tight, we're going to tell you right. We'll tell you something that we think is tight, maybe it's not tight. It's similar to fact, no good. So some tight, so it's just tight. You can't figure out everything. I've had it when you date, it's human nature, you look for someone that's similar to you. But that's not what you're going to get. When everything is said and done, and you come home, and you close the door behind you, and the two of you live in one home together, so then you find out all the differences. You find out that she has strong opinions. You find out that she's quote-unquote sometimes stubborn. Which is usually pretty much the way you are and the way she is, usually. If one side is stubborn, one side is not, so no one's being stubborn, because she just gave in, then she doesn't have to be stubborn. Right? And the only other person's only stubborn when you're equally stubborn. Neither of you are getting in, you know. How could she be more stubborn than you? If you have a disagreement, now Shaya said she should be more stubborn than you, because you gave in and it's over. And the whole is look for me, it cries, no, no complaint. That's the way it is. Because I Yeshua used to speak in the Beis Medrash. And when Rapan used to speak in the classroom. When Yeshua passed away, so Paul was asking to speak once every 4 weeks in the Beis Medrash, and the other 3 weeks he spoke first class. So he spoke every Shabbos Mavarach, if I remember correctly, he used to speak. So the first 3 years it didn't come out Parshas Chayesara. I remember when the first time it came out Parshas Chayesara, I was wondering, he's speaking, you know, for 12th graders, and you know, a lot of guys have nothing to do with dating. I was wondering what he was going to, you know, how he was going to speak. So, Itaka spoke a little about a different Indian also, but he spoke about it. And so he spoke about them. You should know all the tapes of Rapam Shmuz and Akashas Chayasara are really for married people. When you're dating, you understand it a little, you understand a lot, you know. When you're married, then you should listen to it. He spoke about the fact that couples argue about things in the house. And the way he said it, the way he said it, he said, she says she needs a new kitchen. And he says, the kitchen's good enough, what's wrong with the kitchen? He said, of course. He only comes to the kitchen, he eats, and he goes back to wherever he's going. She spends the whole day in the kitchen. Of course, to him it's good enough. As far as not. That was the lashon that he used. To say that in most things that couples argue about, does it really matter? You give in to her, she's going to spend the money anyway, might as well do it to save upon the office, what do you have to fight about it? And by and large, things are just, things that are differences are not worth arguing about. So this is the nekuda that I wanted to share with you. I'll tell you the truth. Yesterday, I had to be in Washington, and I had a 3 o'clock shuttle flight back to New York. I thought I was going to land here at 4:00, and there was a storm. The storm that came here later was there, and first it was postponed to 5:00, and then at 5:00, in one announcement, they said all the flights shuttle flights every hour. All the Shai flights are canceled. We have to book for tomorrow. All the flights to Boston are canceled. And all the flights to Philadelphia are canceled. And everybody, you know, go to the train station. So I knew I had to be here this morning. So instead of going to the train station and waiting another 2 hours till I realized I was going to get on a train, I went and I rented a car and I drove back. I got here at 1 o'clock. I drove 5 or 6 hours. The person I was with, I told him, I'll talk to you for the first hour. I learned very little the whole day. At least while I drive. Let me learn while I drive. I'll think about it. You know, I give a Gemara Shia on Shabbos. I give another Shia on Shabbos. I give a Shia today. So at least, you know, the lesson of the Derech, I'll be able to think of learning while I'm driving. So I was thinking about, what am I going to talk about here? So it's a new topic. The same exact topic. Phrased every time a different way. You should know the kunst, the shalom bayis, to know that what's happening in your house is happening in every house in the block. You think your wife is the one that's this way, that's different, that's either more messy than you like, or she's too neat, or she's too, spends too much money, or she's this, or she's that. You think it's only by you. You should know, you go down a block, every house that is a married couple, it's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same, slightly different. Everybody that's married finds differences. Some people get along over it, some people fight over it. It's exactly the same thing. I once had a woman who called me, a couple that was separated, divorced later. She felt that I only hear his side. He's a show, he's telling me. It was a Friday afternoon, I was home. She called me, she said she wants to tell her side. They didn't get divorced anyway, she wants to tell her side. She mentioned 5 or 6 complaints. So I'm telling you, you can ask my wife what happened. Yes, I hung up the phone. I told my wife, who was familiar with the whole thing. I said, every complaint she said about her husband, you could say about me. Every single one of the complaints you could say about me. You want every single thing, you know, I mean, he wasn't beating her up, you understand? He was, you know, he was too busy outside of the house, and there were things broken in the house that he didn't fix, and, you know, Kahina Rabbi. And it took happened to be the 5 or 6 things she said, you could say that on me also. So we left. The nicest Shalom Bayis incident I ever had. Tremendous mussar to me and my wife. We had a couple over. They're an older couple that don't have children. They're married already a number of years. And they came over to Bayis on Shabbos. And, or Yom Tov, I don't remember. And the nicest Shalom Kachaya. They had made up between them that they don't go to sleep at night with a taina, one on the other. Which I always tell guys is half a good idea. It's always good if the woman has a taina, she shouldn't go to sleep without saying it. So the woman says it, afterwards she feels better. For a guy, it's the opposite. A guy is better off keeping his mouth shut. Because you'll see, if you ever see someone angry, if you're smart enough, you'll know that the more he talks about it, the angrier he gets. That's the way men are. It's the nature of all men. So he bothers them a little, and they talk about it. The more they talk about it, the more they get into it, and they get more and more upset. A man should keep his mouth shut. A woman should say, but you can't tell the woman that you're keeping your mouth shut. You say, we both should say. And what's bothering you? Nothing. You know, like you would get up in the morning. A man feels very good if he keeps his mouth shut the next day. He feels very good. Anyway, so she said, they're going to sleep, and she tells him, whatever his name is, Yankel. Before he goes, I have to tell you, I was very upset about something you did today. So what did I do? She tells him. He says to her, let me think before I answer. Give me 2 minutes. And it's a smart husband. It's fine. And she waits 2 minutes. She waits 4 minutes. She waits 6 minutes. He's snoring. He's not snoring, he fell asleep. So she tells me to sit at the table, and they were laughing hysterically, both of them. They were laughing like it was the funniest thing in the world, which it is. The same exact mice that could happen in a different house. You know, she'll pick up the nickel box and pour it on his head. You know, I told you it bothered me. You're not even going with it. You should know the same thing happens in all the homes. You date, you think you're so smart, you talk it over with your parents, you talk it over with your friends, and finally you found the one, and this is this, this is this is. And then, good morning, you get married, and you find there are differences. Similarities you get used to, you don't appreciate it anymore. It's just the way it is. A big adjustment. Marriage is a big adjustment. When you date, don't try to figure out everything. It's a waste of energy. Figure out what are ikrim. If you have certain mishagat, you want a certain ikrim. Fine, figure it out beforehand. What are your ikrim? And we figure out what your ikrim are. It's a lot easier to be able to date, and it shouldn't take so long. And Pam used to give the marshal always of the fellow who went to Grand Central Station. He went over to the counter. He said, "I need a ticket." He said, "A ticket to where?" He said, "Just give me a nice bus." And said to him, the Pam used to say, "Young man, first figure out where you want to go, and then I'll get you a ticket." He said, "If before people date, they figure out where they want to go, dating won't take so long. Figure out what are the ikrim. Don't let more things cloud your judgment. When you date a few people, don't let it cloud your judgment. Don't let it cloud your judgment." And he said, "That's the Yatid Shmaya. The fact is that when push comes to shove, this is all Irish Tadlus. You have to do Irish Tadlus. The Rebbeinu Shlomo runs the world. Shidduchim are, if anything is Biyad Hashem, then it's totally, really Shidduchim. And Kachidaki Shalom, everyone has been saying somewhere. Some people are in the status of dating, some people are in the status of marriage, some people are in the status of Panasa, some people are in the status of Gizun. Everybody has a status somewhere. But at least do your status the right way. This Nakuda Ha'ikris, in marriage, it's nice to hear about dating, it's crucial to hear about a married life. You should be Zaycheh. You know, it says, Ishvi Isha Shriim B'Shalom, Shkunna Shriya Beinayim. Think it's easy. So what does that mean? It's an easy thing. Shkina Shriya Beinayim. You need to take that effort. It's a lot of effort. Shkina Shriya Beinayim.